I have a confession to make. I'm one of those people who shuts my eyes at movies when a scene gets too violent, too bloody, or too graphic. I just don't have the stomach for it. I look away. And horror movies, I just can't watch at all. It's not the suspense, it's the gore. So if I had been there at the time of Jesus' crucifixion and death, I'm fairly certain I would not have been with John and Mary and the other women standing faithfully at the foot of the cross. And it's not completely clear to me if the two people Jesus encounters in today's gospel on the road to Emmaus were there either. They certainly know about the events that surrounded Jesus at the time of his death, and they have heard about the empty tomb, and they have been in touch with the disciples. But whether they were at Golgotha when Jesus was executed is a different question. If I had to guess, I would say they had probably been laying low. These two are not part of Jesus' inner circle. That is why we never hear much about them at all, apart from this vivid and dramatic encounter with Jesus near the end of Luke's gospel. And yet, this is one of the most well-known and beloved resurrection appearance accounts. And at the heart of this story is a line that stays with me. It haunts me. After Jesus blesses the bread, breaks it, and gives it to them, Luke tells us their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus and he vanished from their sight. This is the mystery at the heart of the Emmaus story. They are with Jesus all this time, and they do not recognize him. Their eyes are somehow shut. And I wonder about this. Then again, how could they recognize someone who had been killed, crucified, and yet was here alongside them, walking along the road with them? Maybe it is the grief, the devastation that the one on whom they had placed all their hope was gone. Maybe it was their disorientation. The world they thought they knew had been shattered. Maybe they were there at his crucifixion and they are still suffering the effects of that trauma. Maybe they are dissociating because all these factors have left them drained and dazed and confused. Until that very moment, they have no idea that they are about to move from their worst fears to the most astonishing joy they have perhaps ever imagined, let alone encountered. And Jesus is with them the whole time. But they don't see him. And here's an interesting thing. The other time I also often shut my eyes, in addition to when I'm scared or disturbed or distressed by what I might see, is those moments when something is so good, I can't quite believe it. In those moments, I will sometimes squeeze my eyes tightly shut, and then slowly open them to make sure I'm not dreaming. How about you? When do you shut your eyes? Is it when you are scared or distressed or disturbed? Or is it instead when something so amazing and unexpected is taking place, you have to shield yourself from whatever is so good and gracious you can't quite believe it's real? Jesus is there in both these moments and in every moment in between, whether we recognize him or not. Here at St. Paul's this morning, we are in kind of an in-between time, aren't we? You've been through a lot of transition, a lot of goodbyes, a boatload of grief. And some of that is still very tender. First Alice, and then George, and more recently, Javier, and just last week, Sarah. And yet, just around the corner, literally next Sunday, you'll be welcoming Jay and his family with love and joy and open arms and your open hearts. And you're in good company. Like those two disciples traveling that road to Emmaus, they were also in that in-between time. Jesus had been executed in a horrible and bloody spectacle. Women went to the tomb and found it empty. Some of them claimed to have seen Jesus, and still, they're in their grief, and they are beginning to wonder, could it be true? Is it even possible? 2 weeks ago, on Easter Sunday, I was at Grace Church in Clayton, a congregation that had to move from the warehouse they had been worshiping in for about 15 years when it was sold. They are now worshiping in a funeral home, which they are renting out until we can find or build a new place. They, too, are in a kind of in-between time. Turns out that a funeral home is a very appropriate place to celebrate Easter. It's a place where our grief and sadness run right up alongside the greatest gift and promise we have ever received, the resurrection. And Jesus is with us the whole time, even before we recognize him. Last November at our diocesan convention, my wife picked up one of those tiny little Jesus figures that we handed out. When Advent began a couple of weeks later, she announced we would not be doing an Advent calendar this year. Given everything going on in the world these days, she said, it's time to change things up a bit. So instead of the traditional Advent calendar, she said, she would be hiding the little Jesus figure somewhere in the house each day for me to find. So I opened the kitchen cupboard and he was right beside the cereal bowls. Or I was at the bathroom sink and he was standing next to my toothbrush. Or on the coffee table on top of the book I was reading. Or next to the TV remote. Or on the dining room table between the salt and pepper shakers. This Easter season, it's my turn, and I've been hiding that Jesus figure for my wife to find. Because let's face it, the world around us is just as crazy as it was in Advent, if not crazier. And we could all use more Jesus in our lives these days. The message is a simple one. Whether we live in crazy times, in uncertain times, or in the in-between times, Jesus is always with us, even before our eyes are opened and we recognize him. For those of you being confirmed and received today here at St. Paul's, we celebrate that promise that Jesus is with you too. And this promise is also good news for all of us, because today your commitment of faith is a sign and a reminder that our eyes are again being opened to the presence, the power, and the promise of Jesus, even and maybe especially in these in-between times. This is the promise at the heart of the baptismal covenant that we will proclaim together as one. One final story this morning, and it's about your new rector. I met Jay briefly just as I was leaving Massachusetts to come here in 2017. He had just arrived at Good Shepherd in Waubun, and it was his first clergy conference there, and it was my last. We were both in that in-between time. And as a native of Atlanta, Jay said to me, "When you get to North Carolina and you start saying y'all, remember it's not just y'all, it's all y'all." So in a few moments, when I invite us to affirm our faith together, I'll be asking all y'all to join with those who are being confirmed and received into the promise and the power of Jesus, our resurrection hope, who is with us always in our beginnings, in our endings, and in the in-between times. Amen.